The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Yomah has been dedicated in memory of Mazal Bat Esther Baghdadi and Yosef Ben Mazal Baghdadi by their family. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf has been dedicated anonymously in memory of Aharon Ben Rachel. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. Daf Lamed Vav. Today's daf is being studied Le'inu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Lamed He Amud Bet, and we start four lines from the bottom at the Mishnah. Ba Lo Etzel Paro. Now we continue the service of Kippur. So it says the Kohen Gadol, he comes next to his par. The par again was the bull that was brought in order to have kapara for the Kohen and his family. Ufaro haya omed ben ha'ulam vila mizbayah. The par would stand, they would position it in the northern side of the azara, like the Gemara is going to explain to us, ben ha'ulam vila mizbayah, which means between the ulam, that's where the kodesh was, and the mizbayah, that's the mizbayah ha'chitzon. So the Gemara is going to give us the exact position where exactly this is talking about. Rosho ladarom ufanav lema'arav, which means its head was to the north, meaning it was positioned in a north-south position. However, its head was tilted to the west. So again, it's standing north-south, that's the width of the Beit HaMikdash, and then its head is turned towards the Kodesh Kodashim, turned right towards the west. V'akohen omed b'mizlach. Now the Kohen would stand on the eastern side, and what would he do? U'panav l'ma'arav, and he's facing west. V'somech shetei adav alav. And he places his two hands over the head of the animal, u'mitvadeh, and he makes a confession. V'kach haya omer. And this is what he said. Anna Hashem, aviti, pashachti, hatati, lefanecha, ani ubeti. He would say, in the name of Hashem, which was the Shem HaMeforash, and there's a machlok in exactly which Shem he used. Some say he would say the Shem Yudke Vavke, he would read it out explicitly. Some say he would say the Shem Yudbet. Some say he said Shem Membet. Some say he said Shem Ayinbet. So there's a different of opinions what exactly Shem he said. But he would say, Aviti, Pashati, Hatati. The Gemara will explain what's the difference between these three types of sins. Ani Ubeti, myself and my family. Anna Hashem, please, in the name of Hashem, kaperna, please atone la'avonot, la'pesha'im, la'hata'im, sha'aviti, v'shefashati, v'shachatati lefanecha, ani ubeti. Please atone for the sins that our family, that I and my family have committed. Ka'katuv betorat Moshe Avdecha, like it says in the pasuk, ki bayom hazeh yechaper alechem, natahir etchem, mekol hatotechem, lefnei Hashem. So therefore, the Day of Atonement, v'hen onim aharav, and the people that hear the Shema Mefurash come out of the mouth of the Kohen Gadol would answer, Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuto Ve'olam Va'ed. Let's see the Rashi. Rosho ledarom ufarav lema'arav, mefaresh b'gemara, she'okem rosho letzad ha'echal. The Gemara is going to explain that while the animal was standing from north-south, it would tilt its head towards the west. The kaba'et ta'ama amay lo mukila lehejaz and avod lemezlach v'rosho lema'arav. The Gemara is going to ask the obvious question. Just position the animal, let it stand east-west. If you want its head to be in the west, well, you got to position it north-south and turn its head. Just go straight east-west. V'akohen omed b'mezlach, achorav l'mezlach. And the Kohen would stand with his back to the east and his face to the west. The bottom Tosfot says, Anna Hashem, b'Yerushalmi yesh to b'rishona amar Anna Hashem, u'bashiniya Anna Bashem. The Yerushalmi's text was, the first is Anna Hashem, please God, and the second one is Anna Bashem. Now what's the difference between Bashem, which means the Kohen is saying, in the Zechut of the Shem, Bezchut the Shem Agadol that I'm mentioning, please atone for my sins. Ana Hashem is a request from God, where Bashem is in you saying in the name of God, that should be the zechut that should cause atonement. Comes the Gemara and begins. Man shamat le damar ben haolam la mizbeach tzafon. Who's the opinion that says that between the ulam and the mizbeach is considered north? Now, why do we know that it's considered north? So that she tells us that we have a klal, that any time we're making shechita on kodshe kodashim, like this case over here, which is the part of hatat of the kohen on Kippur, it has to be slaughtered in the north. That's a klal. So therefore, we know that ben ha'olam lemizbeach, where that's where the animal is standing, it's got to be in the north side of the Beit HaMikdash. So we want to know, whose opinion is it that the ulam, between the ulam and the mizbeach, that area is considered north? Look at the top Rashi. Man shamat le damar ben ulam le mizbeach, karui safon shchitat kodshe kodashim, mehatzi petach ha'hekal velatzafon ben ha'ulam vela mizbeach. Which means we know that if you take the door of the hekal, we learned this previous Gemara, so you go right down the middle. He said, from the, let's say, one side would be the north side of the Beit HaMikdash, and the other side of the midway point of the Hechal's door entrance would be the south, the Darom. So we want to know, Ben HaOlam Vela Mizbeach, that you're telling me, obviously you're putting the pot over there, that's got to be considered north. So we want to understand, which opinion are we going like? So that Jesus says later on, "Vitnam anitin ufaru ayamid ben olam lamizbeach." Vitnam perik lekamam gulan later on, "Shebemakom viduyo shehato." In the place where he confessed on his animal, that's where they slaughtered it. Diktani balo etzel parosh sheniyav v'samach sheyadav shehato v'kibel b'mizach. So therefore, we know that tonight he's not only confessing on the animal over there, but he's also slaughtering. Once you tell me he's slaughtering, it must be it's the north, because we know the slaughtering of the kodesh kodesh must be in the north. So the Gemara is going to give over here opinions. Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimoni. It is actually Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. Now, the Tanya, we're going to give a three-way mahloket, how to define the northern side where you slaughter the korban. There's three opinions. The Tanya, Ezehu Safon, Mikir Shel Mizbeach Sefoni Ve'ad Kotel Ha'azara Uchneged Kol ha-mizbeach, kulo safon. Devrei Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. The first opinion is as follows. Picture in your mind, then you can look in your articles, you'll see a picture as well, but if you picture in your mind, the mizbeach ha-chitzon, it was 32 amma long by 32 amma wide. That was the shi'ur. Now, it stood in the azara, in the, actually in the, we'll call it the, it's not the Kohanim, where the Kohanim were able to go. That's in the outer part of the Beit HaMikdash. Now, it was, let's say, situated in that area. Go to the north side of that Mizbeach and take the northern wall of the Mizbeach, which is 32 Amma long. From that wall to the Azara, to the wall of the Azara, all that area, maybe you were shaded in from point 1 to 32, all the way from there to the wall on the northern side, that's considered, according to the first opinion, the north side where you slaughter the korban and you make the confession as well. That's a limited area. Okay? Now, even though before the Mizbeach and after the Mizbeach on that side is also north, but he says that's not considered what the Torah says, Kir HaMizbeach. The Torah says you slaughter it on the side of the Mizbeach, which implies only where the wall of the Mizbeach actually is. So he limits it to a 32 Amma area going towards the north, towards the Azara. That's the opinion of the Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda. So we can read that inside again. Ezu Sefon, Mikir Shel Mizbeach Sefoni, from the northern wall of the Mizbeach Haitzon, ועד כותל עזרה, until the wall of the עזרה, וכנגד כל המזבח כולו, and following the whole 32 amma length of the מזבח, is considered צפון. דברי רבי יוסף ברבי יהודה. Next opinion. רבי אלעזר ברבי שמעון מוסיף, אף בין האולם ולמזבח. So the Rabbi Shimon says, for sure the 32 Amah of the Mizbeach, but he says, after the Mizbeach, going west, which means past the Mizbeach, you have a little area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. The Ulam is where you enter into the Kodesh. So between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, there's an area over there. That area is also considered north. So he's a little more lenient. He says you don't have to actually slaughter the animal between the Mizbeach itself. The whole northern side, from the beginning tip of the Mizbeach, all the way 32 Amah, and past the Mizbeach, so long as you're on the northern side, imagine you shade that whole area in. Now I want to point out, according to this opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, it would be not only parallel to the Mizbeach, but it's also not only parallel to the wall of the Mizbeach, but it's parallel to the Mizbeach itself. Because once you're going past the Mizbeach, so now you have a whole open area on the northern half of the Beit HaMikdash. So therefore it's, if you're going to show you an example, let's say here's the Mizbeach, right? So the first opinion says only on the side of the wall to the Azara. Where the second opinion is going to say, it's even beyond here to the Echad, and in this area as well. Which means towards the south, right, up until the halfway point, which is still considered north, so you're able to slaughter in that area as well. And according to this Shita, you can't slaughter on the Mizbeach. Right? This area obviously is the Mizbeach proper, so you have to slaughter in front of it. But once you're behind the Mizbeach, you can even go a little behind the area, so long as you're still at the northern midway point to slaughter. Okay? So this, including this, of course.
You're considering this to be the west?
No, this is north. This is north, this is south.
Okay.
Right, this is the northern side, so you're going this area. Mm-hmm. But he's just saying you have to go further. It's still north. Right. You're behind the Mizbeach, and you can even be in this area as well. So that's the second opinion. The third opinion is Rabbi Mosif Af makom dirisat regle hakohanim ve'af makom dirisat regle Yisrael. Wow. So the Rabbi comes along and says, I'm Mosif, not only by the wall of the Mizbeach, not only in front of the Mizbeach before the Ulam, but even on the other side, towards the east, which means behind the Mizbeach, going eastward, the eastern side, you had 11 Amot where the Kohanim were able to walk, and then behind that another 11 Amot where the Yisraelim were able to walk. So he includes that side as well as considered north. So therefore it comes out we have three Shitot. Either the Mizbeach 32 Amah itself, or the Mizbeach plus towards the west, that northern side, or the third opinion is all three sections. The Mizbeach, the western side going north, and then the eastern side, and the 22 Amah that's behind the Mizbeach, and that's what we call Sha'ni Kanor, that's where the north is considered. So now the Gemara says, Aval, Min ha-halifot ve-lifnim, ha-kol modim she-pasul. But everybody agrees, from a section in the Beit HaMikdash called the halifot, everybody says that that's not considered north. Now what are the halifot? Now, the hechal, that's the Kodesh, right? In front of the Kodesh, you had what was called the Ulam. The Ulam, Rashi tells us, was overextended the Hechal by 15 Amah on both sides, by the north side and the south side. So imagine you have a Hechal, let's say it is this wide. In front of it, you have an Ulam that's wider, 15 Amah wider on both sides. So now you have little offices that jut out on both sides. They call those offices the Halifot. Now, if you look in your art scroll in the beginning, when they give you the picture, the map of the Beit HaMikdash, you see 49 exactly. You see in the blueprint that they give you, number 49 is considered the Halifot. You see, because that's the area that extends over the Hekal. The Hekal would end over here, let's say, right? And then it extends on both sides to the north and the south. Now, go to the let's say the one on the northern side, everybody agrees that in this area over here, behind the Halifot, this whole area over here, even though technically it's on the northern side, that's not considered where you can store the Qurban. So the opinions basically, if you want to see in this picture over here, just to review, one opinion was just over here, in front of the Mizbeah, the 32 Ammah. Right? That's the first opinion of Yosef, just the 32 Ammah in front. The second opinion was not only here, but behind the Mizbeah as well, and here as well, so long as you're on the northern side. And the third opinion was, even behind the Mizbeah on this side. And everybody agrees, behind the Halifot, on the northern side, this is not, even though it's north, but you cannot slaughter, because it's too far away from the Mizbeah. Well, it's a mahlok where the Mizbeah was. Was the Mizbeah exactly centered, or was it at the northern point? That was at a mahlok in the previous Gemara. Now, so the Gemara comes and look at that Ashi. Abad mina halifot v'lifnim. What are these rooms served for anyway? Halifot. So Ashi says, Rochav ha'ulam odef al rochav ha'echal tedvav amma latzafon uchnegdo ladarom. Okay, so it goes, it juts out on the north and the south. Umeshech oto odef eno ila eser amot memizach letzad ma'arav. And its length from east to west, the rooms are only 10 amot. Ve'oto odef kari bet halifot. Why? She'ayu bahen 24 halonot. In those rooms, they had 24 windows. Halon lechol mishmar. Each mishmar, each group of Kohanim had their own window. Shesham gunzim sakinim shel kodesh. They would leave their knives there, the knives that they would use to slaughter the animals. The sakin karui hiluf b'shon Arabi. In Arabic, as she says, a knife is called hiluf. So they would call it bet halifot, the room of the knives. The avir she'achore oto odef lema'arav, and the airspace that's behind that office to the west, which means on the to the west, which means behind it, going west. Ve'avir shebin safon kotel ha'odef, and on the northern side, between the halifa, the bet halifa, and the wall of the azara, that's on the northern side. The bet kotel azara karui lifnim min ha'halifa. That's considered lifnim min ha'halifa, and it's not considered an area of safon where you can slaughter. Okay, so everybody agrees. So the Gemara says. Now we go back to our point. Now you got the three-way machloket. What did our Mishnah say? Our Mishnah said, where does he make the vidui? Ben ha'ulam v'la mizbeach. So which opinion held that ben ha'ulam v'la mizbeach is considered north? Well, that was the second opinion of Bila Hazar, v'Rabbi Shimon. Because he said that not only with the area in front of the mizbeach, but even on the west, towards the west, you have that area as well. So lema Rabbi Hazar, v'Rabbi Shimon hi, v'lo Rabbi. Must be Rabbi Hazar, v'Rabbi Shimon, and not Rabbi. So the Gemara says, why? Afilu tema Rabbi. You could even say that the Mishnah is going like Rabbi. And then she says, the Bach changes. Hashta Rabbi ad Rabbi Yosef bi Rabbi Yehuda Mosif. Which means, we know that Rabbi, in his opinion, he was Mosif on Rabbi Yosef bi Rabbi Yehuda. Right? Rabbi Yosef bi Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was what? That it's only on the side of the Mizbeah. So Rabbi came along and said, not only on the side of the Mizbeah, right? But even behind it, right? Now, if he's coming along to say that even behind it is considered Safon, called Sheken, in front of the Mizbeah is considered Safon, which means, called Sheken, you're closer to the Kodesh. Which means, obviously, the B holds there's three shaded areas over here that you're able to slaughter the Qurban. If the B was Mosif on Rabbi Yosef and saying, not only you hold only the Mizbeah, I hold even behind them on the eastern side. So the Gemara says, Ad Rabbi El Azar, Rabbi Shimon, lo Mosif? What, you don't think he was Mosif on Rabbi El Azar, Rabbi Shimon? Which means, according to the B, also allows you to slaughter Ben Ha'olam and the Mizbeah. So therefore, the author of our Mishnah could be Rabbi as well. Why did you say that the author of Amishnah that says Ben Ha'olam V'la Mizbeach is only Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon? It could also be Rabbi. Rabbi also holds that area is considered viable for Shaita. So the Gemara says, "No, Anan Hachika Amirin." This is what we meant to say. E Rabbihi, if it was indeed Rabbi, Nukme Bechula Azara, the Mishnah should have said the whole Azara is permissible. Which means, why did the Mishnah say, Dafka bin Ha'olam v'la Mizbeah? According to the beats, not Dafka bin Olam and the Mizbeah, it's bin Olam Mizbeah, the Mizbeah, behind the Mizbeah. So that's what the Gemara was saying. Which is granted that Rabbi holds you could slaughter bin Olam and the Mizbeah, but if the Mishnah was him, it would have included a much wider area. So the Gemara says, Ela mai, Rabbi Azab Rabbi Shimoni? Oh, so you want to say to Rabbi Azab Rabbi Shimon? Venukme ben Mizbeah velakotel. Well, if it's according to him, it should say from the beginning of the Mizbeah to the wall, which means he holds two areas, right? He holds the Mizbeah area, where the wall is, plus he holds in front. So why would the Mishnah only say Ben Ha'olam V'la Mizbeah? Even according to the Bin Azab and Bishmon, the Mishnah is not precise. Understand why? Because the Bin Azab and Bishmon held, it's the whole wall of the Mizbeah, and even in front of it. So why did the Mishnah only say Ben Olam V'la Mizbeah then? It should have said the whole span of the wall of the Mizbeah plus in front. Eila mai itach lememar. So you know what you have to answer? Mishum chulshah de Kohen Gadol. You have to say because we're concerned about the weakness of the Kohen Gadol. You have to remember the Kohen Gadol is doing the whole Avodah himself on Kippur, and he's fasting, and he stayed up the whole night. So therefore, we want to make it easier for him. Which means, we want to make his traveling to sprinkle the blood as least distance possible. He has to put the blood, catch the blood in a mizrach, in a receptacle, right? So the closer he is to the Kodesh, the less distance he has to walk. So granted, he could do the slaughtering by the wall of the Mizbeah 32 Ammah away. But you know what? The reason why the Mishnah chose Bina Olam V'la Mizbeah to make it easy for the Kohen that he's closer to the Kodesh, so right when he catches the blood, he can walk right in. So the Gemara says, oh, once you're saying that, l'rabina me mishum choshad the Kohen Gadol. So I can say the Mishnah is not going to be as well. Which is, I can tell you that the Mishnah is not going to be. So he asked, oh, if the Mishnah is not going to be, how come it didn't say you have the whole Hazara? Because it's discussing choshad the Kohen, it's discussing the weakness of the Kohen. Which is, once already you tell me that the Mishnah is concerned about the weakness and the weariness of the Kohen, and that's why it said, Ben Ha'olam V'la Mizbeah. So technically you have two opinions that say, Ben Ha'olam V'la Mizbeah. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon plus Rabbi. And now you can't ask me, well, if it's Rabbi, it should say the whole Hazara. The same way by Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, it didn't say the whole side of the Mizbeah, because it was discussing only Ben Olam V'la Mizbeah, because that's where the Kohen Gadol is easiest for him to do it. So then I can say the same thing for Rabbi. So the Gemara's conclusion is, you're right, technically our Mishnah can be either Rabbi or Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. It's one of the two opinions, but it certainly cannot be Rabbi Yosef. Because the Bible says it's not Ben Olam V'la Mizbeah. It's only on the wall of the Mizbeah, not in front. Okay, so that's that. Okay. Just look at the Rashi. Uchneged kol ha-Mizbeah kulo. That's Rashi on the fifth line. Shiloshim ushtayim amma. שכנגד המזבח בספון קרוי ספון לשחיטת קודשי קודשים אבל שלא כנגד המזבח לסד מערב או סד מזרח אבל בישהו ספון העזרה אינו ספון לשחיטת בעינן על ירח המזבח כדכתיב ושחט אותו על ירח המזבח ספונה. She's explaining Rabbi Yosef's opinion. The Torah says you slaughter it al yerech ha-mizbeach. Yerech is learning, it's got to be on the mamash side of the wall of the mizbeach. Well, the other rabbi is a little more flexible. They say yerech doesn't mean actually by the wall, it means on the side, the northern side of the Mizbeah. Okay. Comes the, look at the Rashi, three lines after they get wide. Mishum Chulshah de Kohen, four lines after they get wide. Mishum Chulshah de Kohen. Shelo yikbad alav masui mizrak kadam mirahok. Right, we don't want him carrying the blood from a far place. So therefore, we gave you the closest area where he can slaughter. So look at the Rashi. L'rabbi nameh, afalgav dechol azara kashera, besfon shela. Even though the whole azara is permissible on the northern side, according to Rabbi, mekarev le lesad apetah, mishum oshad de kohen. Again, we bring him closer because of the weakness of the kohen. And now the Gemara goes further. Gemara says, rosho ladarom ufanav lemarav. So the animal was standing north-south, but its head was facing west. So the Gemara, hechi mashkachatla. How do you have a case like that? If it's standing north-south, how do you have its head facing west? Amara be'okem et rosho. It's talking about where you tilt its head. I mean, the Kohen would turn the head of the animal right, so now it's facing the west. Good? So comes Gemara and says, V'nukme lehedya. Why don't you just position it east-west? Why do you have to position it north-south and tilt its head? Just position the animal, head facing west, back facing east. Amar Abaye, gezera shema yerbitz gelalim. We're worried that the animal might defecate. Now, if his back is facing east, that means his back is facing the Mizbeah. It wouldn't be proper. The animal has excrement on the side of the Mizbeah HaChitzon. Because when he has excrement, his bowels are revealed. It would not be kavod to the Beit HaMikdash when he's facing east that his bowels are revealed at the time that he's defecating, and therefore they say face him north-south. Now, even when they're facing him north-south, I want to point out that she says this, they position him in a way where the back of the animal is behind the Mizbeah, which means the front head of the animal, right, let's say is facing south, okay, but they position him in a way where the back of the animal is not even parallel to the side, I should say, of the Mizbeah, because that wouldn't be covered either. So if you look in your books, in your art school, they have a good picture of that, just to show you. See in diagram 4, you see, here's the Mizbeah Haitzon. The animal's head is, let's say, to the side of the Mizbeah, but his back is behind the Mizbeah. So that even if he would defecate, it's really not to the side of the Mizbeah as well. Okay? Comes the Gemara and says, Tanu Rabbanan. We have a braita. Kesad someh chazebah. How does a person make simicha on the animal? Simicha is placing the hands on the animal. Omer basafon. He stands in the south. Ufanav. I'm sorry, the animal is in the safon. We're talking about, let's say, it's Kodesh Kodashim. Ufanav lema'arav, like we learned. And the head is tilted west. Vasomech omed bamizrach. And the one that's making simicha, usually the owner of the animal, is the one that makes the simicha. His back is to the east. Ufanav lema'arav. And his face is to the west. Umaniach shtei yadav ben shtei karnot shel zebach. And he places his hands between the two horns of the animal. Ubevad shelo yeh davar chotzetz beno leben hazevah. And there should not be anything interfering between him and the zevah. There cannot be any hatzitza, any interference, as we said. Now, umetvadeh, and he makes confession. Al hatat, avon hatat. If it's korban hatat, he makes a vidui for the sin that he did, which is a hatat. Ve'al asham, if it's korban asham, avon asham. Ve'al ola, and if it's a korban ola, so the Gemara says, what sins does a korban ola atone for? So, look at Rashi for a second. Rashi says, avon hatat, oto chet shumi bi'alav. That would be, for example, Hilul Shabbat, let's say. So he was mechalel Shabbat b'shogeg. He has to be a korban chatat. So at the time of the simicha, the owner, when he puts his hands on the animal, he says, you know, I'm confessing for the sin that I did for halul Shabbat b'shogeg. The korban asham, let's say, made a shivua, right? That he shouldn't have made, a false swear. So he has to be a korban asham. He puts his hands on the animal. Beautiful. He says, I'm confessing for the sin that I obligated myself not to bring a asham. Now, a korban ola, what sins does it atone for? So the Gemara says, v'al ola, avon, leket, shecha, upea. And according to some texts, umaser ani. Now, what is leket, shecha, upea? We know a farmer has to leave certain entitlements to the aniim, right? When he collects in the field, he has to leave the pea, he has to leave the corners. When he's collecting the bundles, if some of the bundles fall, he has to leave them for the anim as well. And therefore, if for some reason the farmer did not leave the leket shechau pe'ah, so he needs kapara. What is kapara? A korban ola. Now, our girsa is ma'asir ani. Ma'asir Ani is the ma'asir that a person has to give in the third and the sixth years of the Shemitah cycle to the Aniyim. Now, Rashi says this Girsah is not correct. You have to take out Ma'asir Ani, because there is a separate confession for that. When a person goes to the Beit HaMikdash, he has to make a vidui ma'asrot from time to time, which is a confession that he gave all his ma'asrot. And one of the things he says, that he gave the money, la'ani, la'yatom, almana, so he says, that doesn't need a korban ma'asir ani. That's already confessed in the Beit HaMikdash in a separate ceremony. So the only things you have to have a korban for is leket shecha upea. Look at Rashi. Ve'al ola, it's 1, 2, 3, 4 lines from the bottom. Avon leket shecha upea, she'en la'en vidui. Because they don't have a confession of its own. Hachi garsina la betosefta, de menachot, ve'lo garsina ba ma'asir ani. Take out the words ma'asir ani, why? Da yesh bo vidui. Because there is a vidui for that. Ve'gam netativ la'levi, ze ma'asir ishon, la'yatom ve'almana, ze ma'asir ani. Good, so when he confesses, I gave the tithes to the yatomim and the almanot, that's referring to ma'asir ani. Good, so that text is very important to remember. Devrei Rabbi Yosei HaGalili, Rabbi Akiva Omer, En ola ba'a, ela al aseh, va'alot aseh shenitak la'aseh. Rabbi Akiva says no. Korban ola comes for two types of sins. Not doing a mitzvah aseh, which means a guy did not shake the lulav on Sukkot. That's mitzvah aseh, ukahtem lachem. He didn't shake the lulav. So he transgressed a mitzvah aseh. So Rabbi Akiva says, Ola is mechaper ha-mitzvah ta'aseh. Or, on what's called a lav hanitak la'aseh. For example, a person stole. Okay? Now stealing, you're able to fix. It's a lot ta'aseh. Right? But you're able to fix. How? Return the money. So that's called a lav hanitak la'aseh. That is attached to an aseh. That the aseh rectifies it. So in such a case, Rabbi Akiva says, you got to bring a korban, Ola. Look at Rashi. Rabbi Akiva Omer, En Ola Ba'a, Ta'ama Mefanish Betosefta. Al Ma Ola Ba'a. Now what does the Ola come for? Im Al Kiri Tutu Mitot Bedin Hare Onchan Amur. Well, it can't come for something of Karet, because Karet, that's the punishment. Karet. Mitot Bedin, that's the punishment. Sikira, Serifa, Herik, Ba'enik. Im Al Lo Ta'ase Hare Onchan Amur, Malkut. If it's on a regular lot ta'aseh, negative commandment, the punishment is also explicit. You get lashes. Ha'en ola ba'el al-aseh, va'alot ta'aseh shenitak na'aseh she'en nokin alav. So it's got to be on the averot. You don't get malkut on already on punishment. Torah doesn't give any punishment for an aseh if you don't do it. Bring a korban ola. Or a lav and itak, a lav that you're able to fix. So that also there's no malkut, therefore bring an ola. So comes again one says, be'mai kamepalge. What is the root of the mahlok between the bi'akiva and the Biyose? Because the Biyose's opinion was what? Ola is mechaper on leket shechan pe'ah. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, he went and said it's mechaper on ases and lavanitax. What's the source of this machlokere? So he was Amar of Yirmiya. Rabbi Yah says, Belav de nevela kamepalge. They actually argue how to interpret the lotase of eating a nevela. Nevela is an animal, let's say, was not slaughtered properly. Okay, so the animal is called a nevela. And the Torah says, Lo tochal kol nevela. You can't eat it. So what does the Torah say you got to do with it? It says, Lager asher b'sha'arecha titenena ve'achala. Give it to the goy. Let the goy eat it. Now, when the Torah says over here, give it to the goy, it's a mitzvah ta'aseh. L'chaorah. Lager Asher b'shat tenena, give it to the ger. Right? Now, is this a type of aseh that's rectifying the lot aseh? It cannot be rectifying, because the lot aseh is, don't eat it.
Right.
So if you ate it already, there's no way you can rectify by giving it to the ger. So therefore, this type of aseh that's followed by lot aseh is an addition to the lot aseh. Which is if the pasuk is saying like this, lo tochal kol nevela, right? Don't. That's a lo ta'aseh. Lager asher b'sha'arecha tetenena, give it to the ger and don't eat it. So then it's all considered a lo ta'aseh. You can't learn it's an aseh that rectifies a lo ta'aseh, because You can't rectify it if you ate it. So if the Gemara says, "Belav de nevelaka mepalge," Rabbi Akiva asmar lav me'el yahu. He says the lav of nevela is a regular lav, which means that if you ate nevela, you would get malkut. It's a regular lot aseh, because the aseh in that pasuk is not a nitak. You understand? Look at the Rashi, doesn't correct it. Look at the Rashi, top Rashi. Belav de nevela ka mepalge. Dechtiv aseh aharav. And there's an aseh after the lot aseh. Lager asher b'sh'arecha titenena ve'akala. Umiyu al-kurach enze nitak la'aseh. Da'a netinata lager i'efshar l'chash'avar lot aseh shel achila. But if you ate it, you cannot fix it by giving it to the ger. Ve'al-kurach aseh mi'ikara mashma. This aseh is actually going back to the beginning of the pasuk, as if it says, "Lo tochilu kol nebela, ela lager titenena velo tochilua," which is read the aseh as part of the lo taaseh. Give it to the ger and don't eat it. So it's all one long lo taaseh. Rabbi Akiva continues, "Savar lav me'el yahu velokin alav." Beautiful, and you get malkut now. Velav deleket shechau pea. Name ased de batre mi'ikara mashma. The pasuk says by leket shikha upea. Veleket ketsirecha lo telaket. But I warned you, lo ta'ase. Don't take the leket shikha and the pea. So it's a lo ta'ase, right? Then it says at the end of the pasuk, la'ani ta'azbenu. Which means leave it for the ani. So Rabbi Akiva learns, you know what that la'ani ta'azbenu is? It's part of the lot aseh, meaning la'anita azbenu velot laketenu, and don't take it. He doesn't learn that that aseh of la'anita azbenu is an aseh rectifying. He learned it's all one long lot aseh. So the pasuk is saying lot laket, hey, don't take that stuff. Leave it for the ani and don't take it. So therefore, it's a regular lot aseh. So the Rabbi Akiva says you don't bring an ola on a regular lot aseh because you get malkut. So therefore, the lekech chapea is not subject to a korban ola. Good? Because it's just like a lav of nevela. Just like the lav of nevela, even though there's an aseh in that lav, but that aseh is going back on the lot aseh, so to the aseh by lekech chapea is going back and let's say emphasizing the lot aseh. Good? However, if it be your segli savar, lav me'el yahu. No. Nevela, or I should say leket shekhan pe'ah, is not a regular lav. Rashi, actually both. Rabbi Yosigli Sabar, lav de nevela, yes, the lav of nevela, lo tochi, lo tochal kol nevela, lager tetenena, afagav dal korhak aseh de batre me'ikara mashma. For sure, you have to say that it's not rectifying. Because if you ate it, you can't give it to the ger. But he says like this, a different reason. Since the Torah says lo ta'aseh, lo tochal kol nevela, and then it says lager titenena. So this is a different type of lav. Rabbi Yosef says it's a lav that's followed by an aseh. According to Rabbi Yosef, what's the prototype lo ta'aseh in the Torah that you get malkut from? Lo tahsom shor bidisho. The pasuk says, lav de hasima. Do not muzzle the ox when it is threshing. Lo tahsom shor bidisho. Because right before that pasuk it says, arba'im yakenu. You get 40 lashes or 39 lashes. So that's the prototype lo ta'aseh in the Torah where you learn lashes from. So the B.O.S.A. says, all lavs to get lashes have to be similar to the lav of lo tachsom. Now lo tachsom is just a straight out lo tachsom shor b'disho. There's no aseh, there's no nothing. Now lo tochal kol nevela, it's a lo taaseh followed by an aseh. Granted, it's not a lav and itak, but bottom line, it's not like the prototype. And therefore, he says on lo tochal kol nevela, you're not going to get lashes. Why? Because bottom line, it's a lot ta'aseh followed by an aseh. And therefore, it's not like lot ta'asom, there's no lashes. Oh, so once you say that, the same thing by leket. Lot telaket. And then what does it say? La'ani ve'lageh, la'ani ta'azbenu. leave it to the get. It's an aseh. So he's going to learn over there, since it's not similar to a regular lot aseh, so you can't get makut for this. So what do you do instead? Korban ola. Understand how that works. So let's review the machloket according to the way the Yirmiyah understands the machloket to be Akiva and the Yosef. The machloket stems on how to learn the lav of Nevela. That's where it starts. The Rabbi Akiva says the lav of Nevela is a full-fledged lav. Why? Because the Aseh can't be telling you to fix the lav, because if you ate the Nevela, there's no way you can give it to the Ger. So therefore, just saying, don't eat it, give it to the Ger, because you can't eat it. So it's like, you just don't eat it. Good. And that's exactly the way he learns leket. Leket's telling you, don't take the leket. Give it to the Ani. Meaning, give it to the Ani and don't take it. So it's also one big lav. One big lav, you get Malkut, there's no Ola. The B, Yosef says, no, I learn differently. I say, lo tochal kol nevela, it's not subject to Malkut. Why? Because it's lo tochal nevela, followed by an aseh, lagir t'tenena. That's not the normal prototype. Because the normal prototype lav, lo taaseh, is lo tasom shom bedisho. That's where we learn all the lavs from. They get Malkut. Similarly, leket shcham pe'az, not similar to the prototype. Lo telaket, la'ani ta'azbenu. It's followed by an aseh. Therefore, there's no Malkut, because it's not similar to the prototype of lo tasom. No Malkut goes to a korban ola. Good? Comes again, and gives a different answer. Amar Abaye, Abaye Zanana. Because the alma lav de nebela lav me'al yavi. Everybody holds the lav of nebela is a regular, full-fledged lav, which means even according to Rabbi Yosef, it's a regular lav, and therefore you're going to get malkut. Oh, so what's the machloket over there? Ve'acha b'ta'azov kamepalge. The machloket is how to learn the ta'azov by leket shechal pe'ah. Rabbi Akiva savar ta'azov mi'ikara mashma. Rabbi Akiva says ta'azov is going back on the lav. So therefore, leket shechal pe'ah is just a lav. Rabbi Yosef gili savar hashta mashma. No, it's not going back on the lav. It's going on now. Meaning, learn the pasuk of leket like this. Lo telaket. Don't take the leket shechal pe'ah. Oh, but if you took it, but if you did take it, it's fixable. La'ani ta'azbenu. Put it back. So he learns the reason why you don't get malkut on leket shechal pe'ah is because it's a lav hanitak la'aseh. Once you tell me it's a lav hanitak la'aseh, so therefore there's no malkut, therefore you're subject to a korban ola, because there's no malkut on a lav hanitak la'aseh. So according to this version, it's saying differently than the first version. According to this version, everybody holds lo tochal nevela is a full-fledged lo taaseh, it's finished. Forget about the prototype, learning from lo taaseh. It's a lo taaseh. When it says give it to the ger, it means give it to the ger because don't eat it. So what's the machloket over here? Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosef, how to learn leket shechal pe'ah. Rabbi Akiva says the leket shechal pe'ah is a regular lav. Don't take it. Give it to the Ani because you can't take it. That's don't take it. That's a lav. Malkut. Therefore, if there's Malkut, there's no Korban Ola. Whereas the Akiva says, no, it's a lav nitak. Meaning, don't take the leket shechal pe'ah. But if you took it, give it back to the Ani. I'll give it back to the, so there's no Malkut on such a thing. So what do? You bring a Korban Ola to Mechaper. Good? Look at Rashi on this. Rabbi Yosef Sabar Hashta Mashma. That the aseh is going now, meaning achar shelakat ve'avar alot taaseh niteko ha'katuv la'aseh v'sivahu le'ozbo sham la'ani v'lager ufichach elokin alav. Very good. Ve'rabi Akiva sabar me'ikara kodem nekita kai aseh ve'laki aleh ve'lo nitak la'aseh ve'en ola ba'alav. Where according to Rabbi Akiva, he says, no, it's saying don't take it and give it to the Ani because you can't take it. So the aseh is going back on the lotus, so it's a regular lotaseh. So then we get malkut, therefore there's no korban ola. Good? Those are the two answers. Could be miya and abaye. Comes the Gemara, continues. Tanur banan. Kesad mitvadeh. Okay, how does he make the vidui on Kippur? Aviti, pashati, vechatati. So he starts with the words Aviti, then he goes to Pashati, then he goes to Hatati. The Gemara will explain what these three terms are. V'chin b'se'ira mishtaleyah. Now, one of the korbanot that was on Kippur was the sa'ir, the goat that they would send to the mountain, Azazel, and throw off the mountain. Before they would send it off the mountain, the queen would have to make a vidui. V'chin b'se'ir mishtaleyah u'omer. It says, v'tvada alav et kol avonot b'nei Yisrael, v'et kol pishpehem, lechol hatotam. So if you look at the order of vidui by the sa'ir, what does it say? First, avonot, then Peshaim, and then Hataim. So then when you see the order, the Torah really tells you the order. V'chein b'Moshe hu omer. By Moshe Rabbeinu also, when he says the Yag Midot, the 13 attributes of mercy, what does he say? Nose Avon v'Pesha v'Hata'ah. Moshe Rabbeinu starts off with Avon, God carries the Avon, the Pesha and the Hata'ah, the Rebbe Meir. So Rebbe Meir has a strong source to put Avonot first, then Peshaim, and then Hataim. Right? Comes the Gemara and says, V'achamim omrim, V'achamim shenara, Avonot elu hazedonot. When it says Avonot, that's referring to the sins that one does intentionally. V'chenu omer, like the Pasuk says, Hikaret tekaret hanefeshai avona ba. Which means the person who does a sin b'mezid, he gets karet in certain cases. So the Torah calls that a avon. So avon is a purpose. Pesha'im elu hameradim. That's somebody that does the sin in spite. Which means to anger God. Okay, that's a different level. So one guy just transgresses because he doesn't care. There's one that does it to anger. It's rebellious. How do you know this? V'chenu omer, like the Pasuk says in the Nevi'im, Melech Moab Pashabi. Right? Where one of the Jewish kings says that the king of Moab Pashabi, meaning he's rebellious against me, the Omer, and the Pasuk also says, As Tefsha Libna Ba'etai. Which means, Libna was a king that rebelled against one of the kings of Yehuda. So again it says Tefsha, which is a rebellion. Good? Now, Lechol Hatotam, what does Hataot mean? Elu Hashigagot. That refers to unintentional. So again, according to the Hachamim, Het would be the lightest of the sins, Shigaga. Then you have Avon would be on purpose. And then you have Pesha, that would be in spite. V'chenu omer, how do we know that Shigaga is unintentional? Nefesh ki tiheta b'shkaga. Right? If a person does b'shkaga, so he brings a korban hatat. Now, Hachamim continue. ומאחר שתוודא על הזדונות ועל המרדים חוזר ומתוודא על השגגות החמים אסכן רבי מאיר already you atoned, you asked for forgiveness on the major sins, on the intentional and on the spite. Now you're going to go back to the unintentional? Your order doesn't make sense. אלא ככה היה מתוודא חטאתי ועביתי ופשעתי לפניך אני וביתי. So the rabbis are going to be Meir's order. They do it like we're familiar with. Chatati, that's the lighter one. Then you go up the scale, Aviti, and then do Pashati. V'chen b'David u'omer. We found the Pasuk in Tehilim. Chatanu im abotenu he'evinu v'ershanu. David HaMelech starts with Chatanu, then he goes to he'evinu, that's like an avon, and then ershanu, which we like a pesha. Good? V'chen b'shlomo u'omer. Shlomo HaMelech says, Chatanu, and the end of the pasuk would be ve'avinu rasha'nu. Okay, that pasuk is, we'll read the whole pasuk just to get it clearly. The pasuk says chatanu ve'avinu hirsha'nu umaradnu. So that's again the same concept. You're starting with chata'im, you're going to mezid, and then you're going to rebellious. Good. V'chem b'Daniel, u'omer. We have a pasuk in Daniel. Chatanu v'irsha'nu u'maradnu. Good. Ela ma'u shamar Moshe. Oh, but how do we answer Moshe? Moshe said, Nose avon v'afesh av'ata'ah. How do we explain the pasuk in the Torah? Amar Moshe lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono shel olam. B'sha'ash Yisrael chot'im lefanecha. At the time that the Jewish people will sin in front of you, ve'osim teshuvah, aseh laim zedonot kishkagot. Make the sins that they did intentionally lower it down a notch. Make them as if it was done unintentionally. Which means the pasuk is saying, "Noseh avon v'afesha v'hatah." Make the avonot and the pesha'im after teshuvah like a het. He's discussing a different concept. So comes the Gemara and says, "Amar Rav Abba Shmuel, Amar Rav Halacha, k'divrei Hakamim." Halacha falls when you make vidui, you say hatati, aviti, upashati. Gemara says pshita, yachid v'rabim and chakar rabim. But of course, it's machlok and hakamim and rabim meir. Isn't it obvious you're going to take the opinion of hakamim? Ma'od de tema mistaber tamed rabim meir. Rabim meir has a good reasoning why. According to this text, we have the Moshe. Some take out the word Moshe. But the point is, you have a pasuk, meaning on Kippur, clearly it says by the Sa'ir, Hamishtaleach, Venasa, Vetvada, Allah, Vetkol Avonot, then it says, Velkot Peshahem, Lechol Hatotam. So therefore, Rabbi Meir that says the Kohen would say, starting with Aviti, Pashati, Hatati, he's got a pasuk in the Torah by the Seder Mishtaleach that seemingly supports him. Plus, add to the fact, Moshe Rabbeinu also did say, Noseh Avon, Vafesh, Avahata. So you would have thought, since there's pasukim in the Rabbi Meir's corner, so maybe Halakha's like him. Kamash Malan, that's still... You follow the opinion of Hakamim. Now, Rashi learns the Kamisiyah Lekera Dividu Yom Kippurim. So he's learning clearly it's the Vidui Yom Kippurim. Because the Bimi was talking about how does the Kohen make the Vidui? Right? He starts with Aviti Pashati Khatati. Well, you have a Beferush Pasuk on Yom Kippur that has that order. So you would have thought that Hakaz like the Bimi'ir Kamash Walan, still, we go like the Hakamim. Ha'ud Nahid Kamed Rabbah. There was a certain Hazan, he came in front of Rabbah. Ve'abad k'Rabbi Meir, and he made the vidui, and he did like Rabbi Meir. He put tavonot and pesha'im and then nachata'im. That she says, "Ha'ud denachit shaliach sibur shemistader b'tfilatot shiyom kippurim." Ah, he was praying on Yom Kippur. Seder avodatav shel kohen gadol Hashem unchalema farim sifatenu. We know that today there's no Bet Hamikdash. Our lip service is in lieu of the korbanot. So therefore, he got up and read the seder avodah like we do. To fulfill unchalema farim sefatenu, that our lips should be like the service itself. And what did he do? He did like Rabbi Meir. Amar le. So Rabbah tells him, Shavak Rabbanan v'avat k'Rabbi Meir. What are you doing? You left Rabbi Meir and you went like you left Rabbanan and you went like Rabbi Meir. Amar le k'Rabbi Meir svirali. And what do you want? I would like Rabbi Meir. K'dichti b'sefer oraita de Moshe. Just like it's written in the Torah of Moshe, did I do anything wrong? Avodat Kippur, it's written, Avodot B'Shaim HaMataim. I think it'll be Meir's opinion. So comes again what on says, Tanu Rabbanan, V'chiper, when the Torah says, V'chiper, and what's the full Pasuk? It says by the par, by the bull of the Kohen. It says, V'chiper ba'ado u'ba'ad beto. Now, what type of kapara are we talking about? There's two ways to make kapara. Either verbally, confession, or with the blood sprinkling. So we want to know exactly when it says v'chiper, it'll atone through which method? Through blood or through verbal? So the Gemara says v'chiper v'chapara devarim katu medaber. By the part of the Kohen is referring to verbal confession. Ata omer v'chapara devarim o eno ela kapara damim. Maybe it's talking about the confession is by sprinkling the blood. Well, hare ani dam. Well, I can make a gezira shabbah. What's the gezira shabbah? Nemra kan kapara. It says by the part of the Kohen Gadol, the word v'chiper. Nemra le'alan kapara. By the sa'ir that goes to Azazel, it also says the word v'chiper. Ma kapara amura b'se'ir. Devarim. There's no blood over there. You're throwing it off a mountain. Therefore, it's clearly the confession by the Sa'id is what? Verbal. Alf kapara amura bepar devarim. Beautiful. So therefore, how do I know there's a verbal confession? Gezera shava v'chiper v'chiper. Look at Rashi. How can we say we read the Rashi? Let's continue. V'im nafshecha lomar. Oh, but if you'll have a question on the Gezera shava we just gave, the Gemara doesn't tell us the question yet. But if you'll have a problem with this Gezera shava, we have another proof that the par is verbal. Hare omer v'kriv Aaron et par ha'chatat ashelo v'chiper ba'ado v'ad beto. Now watch this. It says, v'kriv, he brings the par closer to the hecha, like we said, and it says v'chiper ba'ado v'ado, and it'll atone for him and his family. V'adayin lo nishchat par. He didn't slaughter it yet, and the pasuk says v'chiper. So it must not be in the blood. It must be in the verbal. So you see the second proof? It says, even if you don't like the Gezera Shava, go to the straight pasuk itself. V'chiper, it says the kapara will be done before he even slaughters it. Now the Gemara says, my v'im nafshecha lomar. What was that v'im nafshecha lomar? Meaning, if you have a question on the Gezera Shava, what was the question that you could have had on the Gezera Shava? V'chitema nilaf mesa'ida na'asa bifnim shekaparoto bedamim. Which he just told me, make a Gezera Shava from the part to the Sa'id. V'chiper, v'chiper, v'chiper. Well, there's two Sa'idim. Who told you to learn from the Sa'id of Azazel? There's another Sa'id that's brought inside the Kodesh. And on that Sa'id it clearly says they sprinkled his blood. So maybe make a Gezera Shava, v'chiper, v'chiper, and say, just like the Sa'id as Bifnim, the Kaparaz and the Dam, so do the part of Kaparaz and the Dam. So that's why the Gezera Shava is questionable. That's what the Gemara says. That's why we go back to the pasuk. It says v'chiper before the par was slaughtered. Therefore, we must be talking about a verbal confession. Let's just finish the Rashi's. V'im nafshecha lomar. A little higher up there. Le'ashiv teshuvah gezera shava zu. If you're going to question the gezera shava, lomar she'et v'chiper ela b'matan damim. You know, maybe you'll argue and say, no, maybe the kapara is only by sprinkling the blood. Al korchat mine ube tipuklan. Which means that I'll learn it from the pasuk itself by the par. De lo efsha le memarat yishare omer v'krib aron et par ha'atat ashelo v'chiper ma'ado ma'ad beto. Ve'ahar kaka, then the next pasuk says, v'shachat et par ha'atat. That means the kapara is happening before the shechita. Ve'al korchach v'chiper ma'ado. עדיין לא נשחת אלמה כפרה זו בדברים היא. רש"י continues. מה אם נפשך לומר? מה היה להשיב לו? What would be the question on the Gezera Shava? It's צריך לטעמה, you need another reason. וכיתם אני לב חי וכיפר בכפרה דכתיב המסעיל הפנימי. דכתיב וכיפר על הקודש מטומאות בני ישראל והיא במתן, I should say דמים. Right. דמים היא. The batan matan damim ketuba, which is after the sprinkling of the blood, the pasuk says v'chiper. So we know on the sa'id bifnim is definitely the dam. Ve'od she'em bo vidui. And furthermore, if you look in the Torah by the sa'id bifnim, there is no confession. So it must be the blood. The Rashi gives you two reasons why we know it's the blood. Number one, because it says the word kapara after the sprinkling of the blood. And number two, there's no confession on that one. So therefore, must be where learning if the Gezera Shava is questioned, so we can learn from the pasuk itself of v'chiper by the par. Baruch Allah al-Olam. Amen. Amen.